Have you ever considered a career in public speaking? Or maybe you're thinking about speaking as a side hustle or a way to promote your business or expertise. If you are interested in getting on stage in front of a crowd, this episode is the ultimate guide to getting started. We'll tackle how to pick the best topic, how to stand out and find opportunities, not competition. And the number one question I hear about speaking, can I actually make money at it? This is the Grown-Ass Woman's Guide. I'm your host, Jackie McDougall. Bobbi Carlton is the founder of Carlton PR and Marketing, Innovation Nights, and Innovation Women, or as she calls them, the day job, the night job, and the dream job. She's spoken at the United Nations, TEDx, and some of the world's best-known conferences for technical and professional women. She's been featured on CBS News, in the Wall Street Journal, Boston Globe, and USA Today. But what you might not expect is that Bobbi is a self-proclaimed introvert. And she says that's actually an advantage when it comes to public speaking. You yourself consider yourself an introvert. And here you are as a leader in this whole world. So how does that work?
I think that people think about introverts as somebody who is shy and retiring. I'm totally not. But I do tend to expend energy being around other people, which is actually probably a better definition for introverts. We don't gain energy by being around other people. We expend it.
Mm.
And so when you're finished with a big conference or an event, an extrovert is often really energized. Like, they can't wait for the after party. I'm done. Like, stick a fork in me. I'm done. You know, I have to be like, okay, back for room service. That's good.
Right.
But, you know, introverts actually have some really nice tendencies that public speaking can take advantage of. Number one, introverts tend to be more oriented toward research.
Hmm.
We're more oriented toward practice and preparation. An extrovert, or somebody who has been told they're an extrovert their entire life, is probably somebody who's a little bit more inclined to wing it. Don't wing it when you're going to be doing a presentation. Number one, there's an event manager in the background somewhere who is dying because you know that extrovert is going to be going over in terms of the time.
Right.
I think that introverts, they're prepared. They show up on time. They have researched everything. They are just ready to answer any questions. And an extrovert, again, they're a little bit more likely to be winging it.
Bobbi didn't have dreams of becoming a speaker. In fact, it all started sort of accidentally back in 2008 when she lost her job and decided to dabble in a new fad called social media. So take me back, paint a little picture for us. Where are you in your life? What's going on when you think, you know what I want to do as an introvert? I want to get on a stage.
All right, I'm going to take you back to 2008.
Okay.
In 2008, the startup that I was working with at the time ran out of money. You know, it was a lot of companies ran out of money at that time. Yeah. We were not alone. And there were no jobs. So I had really no choice in becoming an entrepreneur. I started consulting work. I started my first company, which is a public relations and marketing firm. And at the time, social media was young. There were a lot of people saying, this is an interesting tool. There were also a lot of people saying, this is something kids play with. This is not a real professional tool.
Right.
I was part of the first camp. I said, oh, this is interesting. This is something that I, as a public relations person, should know how to use and feel comfortable with. And you know what's not comfortable? Practicing something that you don't know very much about on paying clients.
Mm.
They don't appreciate it.
Yeah.
So I created an event to allow myself a sandbox to play in. Something that I could use to practice social media, figure out how it could be used on behalf of clients. And I started something called Innovation Nights. Over the, 11 plus years that I ran a monthly Innovation Nights event, we launched over 1,500 new products that got more than $4 billion in funding.
Wow.
So not a toy, but an important tool. And during that time, I was kind of forced out onto stage. The first event that I did in April 2009, I literally showed up, set up for this event, and all of a sudden realized, oh dear God, this is going to be me on stage being the MC. You know, I called it a social media powered event. And mm-hmm. the idea is that we would all bring our iPhones and cell phones and take pictures and tweet and post things online. Well, which meant that every single person in the room was taking video and pictures of me.
Mm.
Oh my God, they were awful. Like literal hot mess. I look so unhappy. I look so uncomfortable and hot and sweaty. I literally like sweated through my shirt. Thank God I was wearing a blazer. And seeing all these pictures was just horrifying. So, you know, you can go one of two ways when that happens. You can go, I am never doing that again.
Yeah.
Or, oh my God, I have to do it again. I better get good at this.
Right.
I went the latter route.
That's quite a crossroads right there.
Yeah. You know, you have photographic and video evidence of really how bad it gets. So I was basically doing the same thing every single month for 11 years. And, you know, I'd say after the first dozen or so times, you stop looking like a hot mess and you start looking like you know what you're doing. Practice doesn't necessarily make perfect, but it makes better.
All right.
So that was kind of my path. And, you know, I was running a massively successful networking event, and a lot of people were seeing me be the MC. So I started getting invitations to do public speaking. And that was how things kind of went down that path.
And what kind of things were you speaking about when you first started?
Social media. A lot of people asked me to come in and talk about public relations. Hmm. I had a long career as the head of global PR for a couple of big enterprise software companies. I was working with a lot of startups, and I was being called upon to be the face of female entrepreneurship on a regular basis. I think at the time, there were like five or six female entrepreneurs in Boston, all of Boston. That's not true. Okay. But it felt that
it
way.
It felt like that. Yeah.
Yeah. You would get asked over and over and over again. And there was a very small group of women who kept getting the call.
Right.
And I happened to be one of them.
At what point were you like, I should help other women speakers?
And actually, it was a little bit farther on down the line when I kind of kept getting requests from event managers. And because I had this relatively good sized database of entrepreneurs and startups, sometimes event managers would call upon me and say, hey, do you know somebody who can come to our event and talk about this? And a few times I was specifically requested to provide female entrepreneurs because, quote unquote, well, we've got this mantle going and I need to break it up. And that was some of the more aware event managers.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the less aware event managers kind of didn't notice the lack.
Mm.
But I did. I was being asked to go to events as well because, hey, come and live tweet my event.
Right.
You have all of these followers on social media. And so I would show up at the events and often sit in the audience with my friends who were other female entrepreneurs, and we would talk about the lack of women on stage. And it wasn't until at one point I broke my leg and was laid up a bit and had a bit of a slowdown where I said, okay, you know what? I can do something about this. Mm-hmm. And I had a platform where we were promoting local startups. I said, well, what if I just cloned this platform and turned it into a platform for female entrepreneurs and technical women, and started just using this as a way to get out of being the introducer for speakers. I literally thought I was going to take myself out of the equation by offering up a platform. Oh, God.
Do you see a pattern here, Bobby? You keep thinking I'm going to present this thing and then I can like fade into the background and the universe is like, knock, knock. No, thank you.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, you fool. Yeah.
In 2015, Innovation Women was born with a mission to provide equal visibility opportunities for women, supporting career development, business success, thought leadership, and diversity. Innovation Women is committed to help managers avoid the, quote, all male, all pale, and all stale panels we see so often at industry conferences and events. Your opportunities that you provide for your members could be in tech, could be in finance. You know, you could be an accountant, you could be an IT expert, and there are opportunities for all different types of people to get up and speak. That's something that really never occurred to me, that I could be someone who works in a field that maybe is typically filled with introverted people, and that there are so many different opportunities for you to speak about your expertise and your experience.
We have 188 different industries represented in Innovation Women. And that's not even getting into the different functions. If you think about it, I'm a marketing person. I have a long expertise in public relations. Mm-hmm. I can go and speak at events like the Public Relations Society of America's annual conference, mm-hmm. or I could be going to speak at a startup event, or I could speak about marketing at an IT conference. Because of my passion, my focus on getting women on stage, I could be speaking at a diversity, equity, and inclusion event. I could be speaking at an event about speaking. There are so many different industry conferences and events, like some of the more unusual conferences that I talk about. There's one in particular. I'm like, I have to figure out a way to get to this conference. It's a conference focused on water park operators. I mean, don't you want to go? I want to go. I so want to go. There's a great conference every year about people who deal with trees. Like, let's go. Like, I like trees. Your expertise could be relevant.
Yes.
What if the tree people, they've got names, they're called arborists. Mm-hmm. What if they put into their big annual conference a career track?
Right.
And in that track, they have people who come in and talk about leadership and career growth opportunities, and maybe things like salary negotiation or what you want to do to get yourself to the next level, get a promotion. There are so many different ways to get yourself out there and be known for something.
Right.
Because that's really the key. What do you want to be known for?
Yes. Let's dive into this a little bit more. So let's just say we have Betty. Betty is listening to this podcast right now. She works in a field. She's been doing her job. She's not feeling fulfilled. She feels maybe like she's aging out a little bit. And the idea of speaking is pretty exciting, probably a little scary, but pretty exciting. How does she know what to talk about and where to pitch herself?
So I usually start people down this path by saying, how comfortable are you personally with public speaking? Let's just start there. Because for some people, public speaking is a terrifying thought. And for other people, they're okay with it. They've done things inside their companies, or maybe they have a side hustle where they're getting out there. But for some people, it's a scary thing. And I usually start them by saying, okay, what conferences and events are relevant to your industry that you already go to. Think about those conferences and events and go look at their agenda. Where would you fit in? Mm. There's a lot of different events out there and they all use pretty much the same device. It's called a call for speakers.
Okay.
And so what you want to do is you want to search online and you'll look for call for speakers and you'll put in your topic or your area of interest.
Okay.
And you'll see what comes up because a lot of times you're going to find just things that you go, oh my gosh, I've never heard of this show, but it's actually something that's relevant to me and my career. They're asking for speakers. They're begging for you.
Right.
You can go and apply.
So what should you talk about? How do you know the best topic to speak on?
If you're a little stuck figuring what you can talk about, this is my method. I call it the three-sided Venn diagram. So you've got one circle that is your area of expertise and things you are passionate about. That's in one circle.
Okay.
Now, picture a second circle, and that second circle is what do you want to be known for? You know, if your area of expertise is medieval armory, that might not be something that's helpful to you in your career, unless you work in museums.
Right.
So think about what you want to be known for. Think about what your area of expertise is and what your passion is, and then you need to come to the third circle, and this is the circle that a lot of people forget about. What does the audience need to know?
Mm.
What are they searching for? What problem of theirs can you solve? And when you have an overlap of all three circles, that's where you should be focusing what you talk about on.
And just like podcasts, there is an event for everyone.
Yes.
I'm looking right now at the Innovation Women website. And here are just a few examples of speaking gigs available at the moment of recording. International Conference on Sport and Exercise Science, Cybersecurity for Healthcare Summit, Association for Information Science and Technology, International Political Science Association, Brain Injury Association of Michigan Annual Fall Conference, and 2024 International Fastener Expo. I mean, there's something for everyone. If there's an industry that exists, there's likely an opportunity to speak.
These are the things that are booking right now. They've got calls for speakers that are open right now with a deadline that's coming up like literally today.
So if somebody wanted to speak, they do your Venn diagram, they figure out what they're going to talk about. And then do you suggest having multiple talks that you put out there? Do you have one signature talk? What does that look like?
I think that when people are getting started, a lot of times they have a bunch of talks. And sometimes they'll have two or three kind of in their hip pocket and they'll start looking for opportunities. And here's one, then here's one, then here's one. They're a little bit scattered. But I find that over time, people tend to zero in on one topic and that becomes their signature talk or their signature topic. You're really winning when somebody contacts you and says, we'd like you to do your signature talk because you're the first person we thought of when it came to that topic. You want to become known for a topic. And becoming known requires focus. If you're doing 16 different topics, you're not becoming known for anything.
Interesting. I think many times we feel like, oh, I have to diversify so that I can apply for a bunch of different places. But that's not necessarily the case.
It's not necessarily the case if you're thinking about this long term. You know, it may take you a little while to kind of zero in on this is the place where I feel comfortable. This is the place where I have an idea that differentiates me. That's one thing that I really would love to point out to people. Do not be the presentation that is one Google search deep.
Mm.
Don't be the person that's regurgitating what anybody could find online if they did a quick Google search. This is one reason that I feel like speaking is kind of AI proof. Because as speakers, it's our job to give people an idea that they can't find anywhere online. I want to go and give a presentation that just blows people's minds, that gets them thinking about something new, that also gets them running out of the room going, I can do that too. That's success as a speaker.
Absolutely. Speaking of success as a speaker, I've been to many conferences, I've spoken at conferences and other events, and there's a lot of speaking for quote unquote exposure and not pay. And I wonder if that's actually, if women face that more than men. If you care enough, you'll do it for free. What does it look like as far as getting paid? Do we do things for free?
I'm going to tell you absolutely yes. All right. So this is deep talk.
Okay.
When I started Innovation Women, I knew that as a public relations person, part of my job had always been to get executives on stage at conferences and events. And those were not paid speaking engagements. Actually, some of the companies I worked for had policies how you could not be paid. They paid your salary. You were speaking as part of your role. So a lot of conferences, particularly professional conferences, pay absolutely nobody. So I did a survey just as I was starting Innovation Women. I surveyed 360 event managers. Who pays? Who doesn't pay? What roles do you pay? How much? Like, I asked all kinds of questions. Half of all event managers have no budget whatsoever for speakers. All right. Half of all of them. 42% pay some people. They have money for the keynote speaker. Like, they're bringing in somebody to help them sell tickets. When you see Michelle Obama on stage at a conference or an event, she's a paid speaker. You know, she's not doing it out of the goodness of her heart.
She doesn't want exposure.
She doesn't want exposure. I think she's got plenty. But if you see Michelle Obama on the roster for an event, you're like, oh, I'm going to that. I am buying that ticket.
It's high quality.
It's high quality. So event managers will spend money on a high profile, sometimes celebrity speaker. Sometimes they will spend money on what I call shoulder workshops. A shoulder workshop is when your event is on Wednesday and Thursday, but there are special bonus workshops that you can pay extra for on, say, Tuesday and Friday. And the conference organizers are getting paid extra, so they have extra budget to give you, the person who is running the workshop for them.
Right.
Event managers also frequently have discretionary funds. They've got a little bit of money put toward a speaker that they really want to get there that they're not going to get any other way. So doing the math with me, that's 8% of event managers who pay all or most of their speakers.
Wow.
And by the way, there's very little kind of big signals that you can use to determine which of the opportunities those companies represent. Because some very tiny little events that are not for rich organizations will pay every single speaker. They'll put you up for free. They'll feed you. They will treat you like gold. Some absolutely massive, very wealthy organizations pay absolutely nobody. Okay. I'm talking about things like CES or the National Association of Broadcasters. These are very wealthy organizations, but their policy is we pay nobody. South by Southwest is another one. That is a massive volunteer-run organization for the most part, but they pay no speakers.
None?
None.
Wow.
Absolutely none.
That's surprising. I mean, I understand as a speaker, to be invited to South by Southwest is pretty epic. And it's great to say that these are some of the places I've spoken. But there's some big names there that you'd think that they'd get something for it.
Yep. And they are coming for the exposure.
But let's be honest. Exposure doesn't pay the bills. But it can. It's about how you look at it and where you look for it.
I think one of the things that happens a lot of time with speakers who maybe don't have a I'm getting paid business model is they look at their own experience. So again, I'm a public relations person, many years of PR. So I'm going to look for all of the public relations events and I'm going to pitch myself there. Bad idea. Mm-hmm. Here's why. If I am pitching a story or a speaking engagement to the PRSA, I'm speaking to other people in my industry, not necessarily my customers, but my competitors.
Oh.
You need to think about if your business model is I'm going to speak, I'm going to get visibility, I'm going to get clients out of this. You need to think about where your clients are, not necessarily your competitors.
I love that. So if you're a graphic designer and you do branding and marketing and you like to work with, let's say, your local realtors, go to a realtor conference to talk about the importance of branding and marketing, and then they're hiring you to do the actual work.
Exactly.
Boom. I love it.
Exactly. And one of the things that you need to be very aware of is that you can't go in and deliver a sales pitch. You have to be very circumspect. You have to be subtle. You know, this isn't run to the back of the room and buy my book now. Yes, I have a book. And you have to be doing some very specific things. I call it dropping breadcrumbs. So when I'm giving a presentation, usually the person who has introduced me will say, this is Bobby. She's the founder of Innovation Women. It's a speaker bureau for women. Like just a short introduction.
Yep.
If somebody in the audience is going, oh, I'm a woman, I would like to speak, they'll go and look me up. Maybe they'll give me their card at the end of the presentation if I've intrigued them enough. But if I stand on stage and I'm like, run to Innovation Women, buy a profile now, people are going to clear out, they're going to run away, and I will never get an invitation to speak at that event ever again.
Right. And that goes for podcasts as well. I've had people come on and, you know, I've been editing for a long time. I know what I'm doing. But people will come in and be like, when my clients and my clients and my clients and my work and my website and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, that's not why you're here. Yeah. Show the world that you're amazing. Show the world your expertise and your experience. And the ones who need to find you, I promise you, I will promote your freebie. But when you just sound like you're selling, and I made the mistake even earlier as a podcaster to allow a lot more of that and not wanting to hurt anybody's feelings by editing it out. But if my audience isn't listening and going, all right, I got a lot out of this, then I'm not doing my job.
Yep.
And so I love that it's the same thing from stage.
Absolutely. And if you do get up on stage and deliver a sales pitch, you're not going to be asked back.
Yeah.
That's the key there. And you want to come back. You want to establish relationships with event managers, with events, with groups and communities that go to that event every year. I have a couple of events that I get asked back to time and time again because I do a good job for them. And I'm not on stage selling anything.
Yeah.
There are a couple of them that I go, oh my gosh, they all heard my presentation last year. I need to come up with something new. And I need to come up with something new every year.
One of my favorite things about the work that I do is the collaboration and support I've experienced with other grown-ass women. Something that I didn't realize is a little more difficult to find in the speaking industry.
The speaking world is, I hate to say it, kind of highly secretive.
Mm.
And a lot of times people are very successful with public speaking, especially paid public speaking. They don't share. That's one of the big things that I've been working on with the Innovation Women community. We have a Friday morning drop-in Zoom call called Speaker Friends.
Yes.
And I talk about this from the point of view of somebody who has seen other speakers being very closed mouth, being very cut off from their peers. I want people to connect with their peers. If you're a speaker, the best thing you can do is make other speaker friends. Share your knowledge, pick their brains in return, cheer each other on, become that community. I don't care if you join Innovation Women. Find a community of other speaker friends. They will help you.
If you're looking to show up, talk for a bit, and get a giant payday, that might not be realistic, at least for now. But like anything, it takes a clear strategy, a bit of creativity, and a whole lot of consistency. How likely is it that someone's going to become a speaker and then be able to make a living just off speaking?
I think right off the bat, it's going to be hard. Very, very hard. I talk to a lot of people who have done public speaking and they get paid a couple hundred bucks here, a couple hundred bucks there. They're very happy when they get $1,000. And yet we all hear the stories about the Michelle Obamas of the world who make $250,000 for showing up.
Right.
We hear those big dollars being thrown around when it comes to celebrities. Mm. We hear when it's people who have worked in speaking and their industry who have accomplished something amazing. You need to have a good foundation. And that foundation is going to be things like you wrote a book or you sold your company for $1 billion or you were on the cover of People magazine. Those foundations make it so that you are worth more to an event manager. Mm-hmm. They want to pay you more because you will help them sell tickets.
Right.
You're not going to be that person right off the bat.
Yeah.
You need to grow into that.
And I think it's a lot like podcasting, right? So people get into podcasting, they think, well, I'm going to get sponsors and I'm going to retire my husband. You know, that's the whole thing on the internet is like these women who are like, I retired my husband. Like, okay. but to get into podcasting and to expect that you're going to get as a regular person, not a celebrity, expect that you're going to get all these ad dollars coming in, which I could bore people by explaining how the ad dollars actually works in podcasting, you're not going to make money. So my whole thing is like, how can you use your podcast? If your podcast is a hobby, great, more power to you. But if your podcast is to promote your business, is to promote your expertise, your consulting, you know, whatever it is, that understanding what the business model is, understanding what the benefit is of having this podcast, it sounds like it's similar to speaking. Is it to get more powerful in my message and my mission? Is it to become a thought leader in this particular industry? Is it for promotional assets? Is it because you have a book and you want to sell it? Am I on the right path here?
Yes, any of those and all of those. I think that most speakers who make a living at speaking are not always getting paid by the organizer. I think that's right. The dream. Yes, you know, I step on stage and somebody hands me a check. The reality is there are far more speakers who make a living because they step on stage, they deliver value, they step off the stage and somebody wants to hire them. Somebody wants to buy their book. Somebody wants to get involved or donate with the organization they're representing. There's a lot of different business models. That's actually one of the things that we talk an awful lot about at Speaker Friend Fridays. It's one of the things that I try to get people to be realistic about it. And sure, we'd all love to show up and just talk and make money.
Right.
The reality is you need to have a pretty diverse business model to make a living as a speaker.
Yeah. And a really strong strategy.
One of the things about running a speaking business is you have to treat it like a business, which means that you have to be selling yourself as a speaker. And so a lot of people will not think about things like how they collect leads, who their target market is, how they're going to connect with the audience afterwards. So many different things go into running a business. It's not something that you just kind of leap into as a side hustle.
Right. through Innovation Women. You teach the strategy. You talk about the different business models. You have listings and listings of opportunities to pitch yourself. I have been to the Speaker Friend Fridays. You learn so much from you and so much from the other women. I think it's so important as a creative to be generous with what you've learned. I mean, I produce other people's podcasts. I consult people with podcasting, but I'm the first to say, like, I tried this, you know, and they're like, oh, I didn't think of that.
Somebody once told me that as a podcast guest, you should create a Spotify playlist.
Yes.
With all the podcasts that you've been in, because number one, it's a place for podcasters to listen to you. Mm-hmm. And number two, you're promoting all of those different podcasts.
Exactly.
I love that idea.
Absolutely. And I have one on Spotify. I'll have to link to that in the show notes. And do you have one on Spotify that I can link to yours as well?
I don't. It's on my many tiered list of things I have to do.
Oh my gosh. Seriously. Seriously, that list is never ending. As of December 2023, Innovation Women has seen over 21,000 total calls for speakers, with 600 plus currently on the platform with new opportunities added daily, and 9,200 total attendees at their Speaker Friends weekly calls. And Bobby is constantly promoting her members in newsletters and on social media.
Every single profile on Innovation Women has this special button. This platform was developed by a marketing person. It's called the Promote Yourself button.
Mm.
And it opens up a dialogue box, and we ask our speakers, tell us every time you get on stage. Tell us when you're a podcast guest. Tell us when you've got a new book. And we're going to promote those things out to our list, because it's another way of building on that foundation of you as a leading expert on a particular topic.
Right.
And the more times people see you, the more often or more likely they are to think of you when they are fulfilling that speaking opportunity. My best example of this is I once got a call to do a TEDx. And of course, I was so excited. You know, I was like, oh my goodness, of course, I will absolutely be there. When is it? Tuesday.
Oh, geez.
Oh, no. TEDx's are things that you practice for months, not like days. I ended up doing it. In the end, you know, it kind of dawned on me. They asked me to do it because their theme was innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, I founded Innovation Nights. I founded Innovation Women. I speak about innovation. Of course, it's my brand. And of course, I'm the person they immediately thought of for that last minute fill in.
If you don't let your ego get in the way, then it's really a great opportunity.
Yeah, it was a little terrifying. I actually turned it down initially. And I said, wow. No, that is career suicide. I'll be awful. Like, it'll just be bad. And in the end,
but it wasn't.
In the end, it was all right. You know, I mean, I look at it and say, hey, I could have done things better, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not embarrassing.
I actually saw that TED Talk, if it's the one that's online that you're talking
about.
It's
the only one I've ever done.
But that's such a great message, though, too, because sometimes we're not ready. Sometimes opportunity shows up, and that was the one, and that was like going to get you on that TEDx stage, and which does bring a lot of credibility to a speaker too, right?
Yep.
You know, and so it's really a message to women. Sometimes you're not ready and just show up and do it anyway. And I love that your branding is innovation, because I'm a big believer. People talk about reinvention all the time. Mm-hmm. Reinvention, reinvent yourself, reinvent your life. That's all fine and good. But I feel like at 52 years old and my audience being women over 40, we've already established, we've built the foundation. We don't need to start from scratch and reinvent. What we need to do is take all of that experience and expertise and innovate and shift and move into the person that we want to be today. And so for me, I think it's innovation is exactly what we're all doing at this age and stage.
That is such a really good point. And it sounds like I had a lot more thought put into my company name than I did.
Let's just go with it.
We're going with it. Sounds great.
I am a firm believer that there is something here for you and that the world needs your voice. We would all benefit from the message that can only come from you. If you are feeling the itch to get started, do it. What do you have to lose?
I think the big takeaway is, yes, do it. You can do it. Don't overthink this. Jump in with both feet and don't think about public speaking as being on stage by yourself. There are so many different kinds of public speaking. You could be on a panel. You could be a co-presenter. You could do a demonstration. You could be doing a webinar. You could be doing podcast guesting. Like, that's speaking. All of these different opportunities, they don't necessarily have to lead to you being on stage by yourself in front of a cast of thousands. You could be in a round table. You could be doing all kinds of interesting things that are getting you out there and visible as a speaker without being alone. You're never alone. We're here with you. One of the ways that I talk to people about getting started a lot of times is just asking a question from the audience. You go to a conference, the speaker speaks, you stand up at the end when they ask for questions, they're begging for questions, and you ask a question.
Yes.
You're talking to the same audience that the speakers on stage just spoke to. Ta-da, you're a speaker.
That's amazing. That is amazing. You know that's going on social media, that little clip. Thanks so much for listening. To learn more about Bobbi Carlton or to become a member of Innovation Women, visit grownasswoman.guide/episode197. And let's connect on social at grownasswoman.guide. And if you feel inspired, please consider leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Until next time, you are a grown-ass woman. Act accordingly. The Grown-Ass Woman's Guide is produced by Grown-Ass Creative, a media and marketing agency powered by grown-ass women over 40. Spring has sprung, and with the change of seasons, sometimes comes an increase in vitality. If you're feeling in the mood for a little more personal time, may I suggest Coconu? Coconu is all about providing clean and natural ingredients when you're enjoying your most intimate moments, with or without a partner. Naturally safe products developed by people who are obsessed with quality. Get 15% off with promo code GROWNASS at grownasswoman.guide/Coconu. That's 15% off with promo code GROWNASS at grownasswoman.guide/Coconu.